The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 191, to W. S. Esquire in London, Lewistown, Pennsylvania, May 24, 1740. My dear friend and brother, my will is much to go to Georgia, but my dear Lord Jesus is pleased to cross me. Forever blessed be his great and glorious name. Just now the Lord has brought me hither. Your letter pleased me. I hope our Lord is now beginning to answer my prayers, and that my dear brother S. is about to know himself. You know, I have often told you that you ought to suspect your experiences. You have mistaken, in my opinion, preparation for conversion itself. Your 9 years round of duties were no effects of the new birth at all. How could they be? When you did not know you was to be born again, before you heard Mr. C. W. expound the 7th chapter of the Romans, then, but not till then, did you begin to be enlightened, and illumination and conversion are two different things. All my great trials are a consequence of this. Not that God's way of dealing with me ought to be a rule for others, but I think your care and mine somewhat parallel. Those that have been most humbled, I find, always make the most solid, useful Christians. It stands with reason. The more a man is emptied of himself, the more room is there made for the Spirit of God to dwell in him. Your caution to dear Mr. H. was very good. Openness is the best preservation of spiritual friendship. I would behave so that no one might be afraid to consult me. But if people will not open their hearts, let them not blame me. I cannot speak where I perceive a shyness, and where I see persons are afraid of me. I am sure they must harbor some ungenerous suspicions or other against me, and how then can there be a harmony of soul? My dear brother, my friend, now I have told you my heart. Be not angry. I am just ready to weep. Indeed, I am willing to wash your feet and to acknowledge all favors under God that I have received from you. Be stable, be willing to consult others that have trod in the spiritual world before you. Do not mistake working for life for working from life. Watch unto prayer, and do not be carried away by every wind of doctrine. How could you not see through L. of Germantown? But I must not chide you, but love. Much I owe you. Have patience with me, and I will endeavor to pay you. I shall long to see you at Savannah. Once more, my dear friend and brother, Alu, my heart is much melted down. God continually fills me with himself. Oh, give thanks for, dear sir, your affectionate and servant in Christ, G.W. End of letter 191. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 192. To the Reverend Mr. J.W. Cape Lopen, that's L-O-P-E-N, May 24th, 1740. Honored Sir, I cannot entertain prejudices against your conduct and principles any longer without informing you. The more I examine the writings of the most experienced men and the experiences of the most established Christians, the more I differ from your notion about not committing sin and your denying the doctrines of election and final perseverance of the saints. I dread coming to England unless you are resolved to oppose these truths with less warmth than when I was there last. I dread your coming over to America because the work of God is carried on here, and that in a most glorious manner, by doctrines quite opposite of those you hold. Here are thousands of God's children who will not be persuaded out of the privileges purchased for them by the blood of Jesus. Here are many worthy, experienced ministers who would oppose your principles to the utmost. God direct me what to do. Sometimes I think it best to stay here, where we all think and speak the same thing. The work goes on without divisions, and with more success, because all employed in it are of one mind. I write not this, honored sir, from heat of spirit, but out of love. At present I think you are entirely inconsistent with yourself, and therefore do not blame me if I do not approve of all that you say. God himself, I find, teaches my friends the doctrine of election. Sister H. hath lately been convinced of it, and, if I mistake not, dear and honored Mr. W., hereafter will be convinced also. From my soul I wish you abundant success in the name of the Lord. I long to hear of your being made a spiritual father of thousands. Perhaps I may never see you again till we meet in judgment. Then, if not before, you will know that sovereign, distinguishing, irresistible grace brought you to heaven. Then will you know that God loved you with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness did he draw you. Honored sir, farewell. My prayers constantly attend both you and your laborers. I neglect no opportunity of writing. My next journal will acquaint you with the new and surprising wonders. The Lord fills me both in body and soul. I am supported under the prospect of present and impending trials, with an assurance of God's loving me to the end, yea, even to all eternity. Ere this reaches you, I suppose, you will hear of my intention to marry. I am quite as free as a child. If it be God's will, I beseech him to prevent it. I would not be hindered in my dear Lord's business for the world. I am now waiting for a fair wind. God blesses the orphan house. Do not be angry with, but pray for, honored sir, your unworthy brother and servant in Christ, G.W. Letter 193 to Mr. S. in Charlestown, Savannah, June 7, 1740. Dear sir, before I knew you by name, my heart was uncommonly affected towards you. Whenever I saw you at church, I inquired concerning you, and to my great but pleasing surprise, when I came to your house, found you was the man I was inquiring after. Your letter gives me still hopes that our dear Lord Jesus is about to awaken you from a carnal security in which you have long lain. He is now calling you, dear, dear sir. I beseech you by the mercies of God in Christ Jesus our Savior, take heed that you do not lay down again. If you will be a follower of the Lamb of God, you must prepare your soul for manifold temptations. You must become the song of the drunkard and have a manner of evil spoken against you falsely for Christ's sake. But let none of these things move you, dear sir. Dare I beseech you to be sincerely good. Be not ashamed of your glory. Learn a lesson of boldness even from the devil's children. How resolute, how daring are they in their master's cause. Why should not we be equally courageous in the cause of Jesus Christ? Oh, sir, I feel a concern for the welfare of your better part. God hath vouchsafed you some convictions. Do not rest in them. Catch not too greedily at comfort. Beg of God that you may be thoroughly wounded before you desire to be made whole. Otherwise, you will go but halfway and be only an unstable, double-minded man at last. God forbid that dear Mr. S. should ever settle in such a dangerous state. Ere long, I hope to see you in Charlestown, and then I shall have an opportunity of inquiring more particularly into the state of your soul. I came home but 2 days ago, and therefore could not answer your letter before. If I can be serviceable to you in any respect, be pleased to command, dear sir, your assured friend and servant, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 194, to Mr. J. H. in London, Savannah, June 7, 1740. My dear, dear brother, with great comfort I received your long-wished-for letter. It warmed my heart and knit my soul to you much more than ever. Whenever I see the childlike simplicity and love of Jesus, it quite melts me down. Let all former misunderstandings between me and your friends be entirely forgotten. I always pitied your parents and most earnestly prayed for them and you. Blessed be God that you are come home. You are now, I believe, as I always did believe, in your proper station. May God give you a settled habit of devotion and so fill you with his Spirit that whilst you are working for God on earth, you may be like those blessed angels who, though ministering to us, yet do always behold the face of our Father who is in heaven. My dear brother, let the love of Jesus constrain you to love him with all your soul. A sense of your divine love now melts down my heart and draws tears from my eyes. Oh, what wonderful things is God doing in America. Sylvania, also, my dear Sylvania, especially my little orphans, now begin to feel the love of Jesus Christ. I arrived here but about 2 days ago, in an hour quite unexpected by my friends. How did we weep over one another for joy? Perhaps I may never feel the same like again till I meet with the sons of God in glory. But oh, what a scene was to be seen last night in the congregation. How did the stately steps of our glorious Emmanuel appear? His glory shone with exceeding brightness. The power seemed to be coming on all the day. My soul has been much carried out in behalf of this place, and now the Lord is about to answer my prayer. T.D. was yesterday in a glorious agony. I prayed with three of the girls before I went to church, and their hearts were ready to break. I prayed also with strong cryings and tears with our other dear friends, and God was much with us then. But when we came to church, oh, what was to be seen and heard and felt there! The power of the Lord came as it were upon all. Most of the children, both boys and girls, cried bitterly, and most of the congregation were drowned in tears and mourned as a woman mourneth for her firstborn. Expensive spirits made my body weak, but my soul still wrestled earnestly with God. When I came home, I lay upon my bed, but seeing the children and the people come home crying, I went to prayer again, and a greater power than ever still attended it. Oh, how was my soul carried out, and how did the Holy Ghost fill the room? At last I thought proper to dismiss them, but it would have charmed your heart to hear the little ones in different parts of the house praying and begging of Jesus to take full possession of their hearts. The same power continues today. For nearly 2 hours, four or five of the girls have been before the Lord, weeping most bitterly and under such agonies as gives me hope our Lord will soon send them deliverance. I have not yet talked with the boys, who also have been under great concern, and one especially in great agonies. I believe two or three will truly be gracious. I have brought with me a Latin master, and on Monday laid a foundation in the name of our dear Jesus for a university in Georgia. God bless me, O free and sovereign grace, in everything I undertake. Our orphan house comes under better regulations today, and I am persuaded in the end will produce some true followers of Jesus Christ. I am now looking for fresh attacks of the enemy after such inroads. He has been busy since my departure, but the Lord hath vouchsafed to rebuke and disappoint him. My dear brother, may the Lord be with you. For Christ's sake, desire dear brother W. to avoid disputing with me. I think I had rather die than to see a division between us, and yet, how can we walk together if we oppose each other? Adieu. Dear James, with much tenderness I subscribe myself. Ever yours, G.W. Letter number 195. Sylvania, June 7, 1740. To T.T. Esquire in London. My dear friend and brother, I wrote to you very lately, but your kind letter is now before me, and I cannot forbear answering it. Blessed be God that you still look upon me as your friend. May the friend of all unite us in the best bonds and bring us to himself at last. I long to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. I have now such large incomes from above and such precious communications from our dear Lord Jesus that my body sometimes can scarcely sustain them. Our dear brother H.'s letter, which I desire you may see, will show you what a work is begun in Sylvania. I am in great hopes that six or seven boys and girls are really coming to Jesus Christ. Dear Brother H. sojourns with us. I love him and all the brethren in the bowels of Jesus Christ. I am now looking for some strong attacks from Satan. The Lord comforts me on every side and lets me see my desire in the salvation of many souls. O dear Mr. T., forget not your weak, unworthy friend and brother in Christ, G.W. End of letter 195. Letter 196. Sylvania, June 11, 1740. To Mr. M. Dear Mr. M., I am not uneasy, but rather joyful, to find God lets you see more and more into the mystery of your depraved nature. I pray God these convictions may still increase, and that you may not fall short of a saving union with Jesus Christ. I am concerned to find you have lost the sense of your first love. Take heed, my dear friend, and wrestle with your dear Lord, till he lets you see the root of bitterness that must certainly be in some corner of your heart. Perhaps you have not renounced the world and your own righteousness, and then no wonder our Lord doth not manifest himself to your soul. Sometimes, indeed, God withdraws on purpose to wean us from sensible devotion, and to take us off from seeking any self-complacency in our duties. If this be the case of you and your friends, you are patiently to tarry the Lord's leisure, and continue striving with all your might till he is pleased to lift up the light of his blessed countenance upon you. You must seek Jesus, though it be sorrowing, and then after 3 days you will find him. For the Lord will not always be chiding, neither keepeth he his anger forever. That God may daily renew you in the spirit of your mind is the hearty prayer of, dear sir, your assured friend and servant of in Christ, G.W. Letter 197. Sylvania, June 11, 1740. To Mr. W.W. in London. Dear W., I am sorry to hear that you and your masters cannot agree, but this I know. Supposing the case to be as you represent it, you must notwithstanding be obedient not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. Rough usage will do you good if you are sincere. God sees the pride and stubbornness of your heart, and therefore sends you these trials to beat it down. I find the benefit of crosses. What should I do without them? Dear Brother S. would write to you, I believe, but is much engaged. We love one another in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Oh, dear W., keep close to God, and see you are that inwardly which you would be esteemed outwardly. Rest in nothing short of a sound and thorough conversion. That God may bless you and all your brethren with all spiritual blessings, in the hearty prayer of your assured friend and servant, G.W. Letter 198. Sylvania, June 13, 1740. To the Reverend Mr. Jonathan Barber. Reverend and dear brother, I have just been reading the 3 letters you sent some time ago to our dear brother N., and find my heart much inclined to write you a line. Whatever others may do, yet I am far from judging you on account of God's dealings with your soul. I rather rejoice in them, having myself been blessed with many experiences of the like nature. But, my dear brother, if God works upon us in an extraordinary matter, we must prepare for temptation, even from our Christian brethren. Most judge of others from what has passed within themselves, and many of the dear children of God are too apt to confine God to this or that particular way of acting, whereas he is a sovereign agent. His sacred spirit bloweth when and where and how it listeth, and when in uncommon work is to be done, no doubt he will work upon his chosen instruments in an uncommon manner. What the event of the present general waking will be, I know not. I desire to follow my Lord blindfolded, whithersoever he is pleased to lead me, and to do just so much and no more as his providence points out to me. Wonderful things have been done ever since my arrival at Sylvania. Such an awakening among little children I never saw before. O dear Brother M., letter will acquaint you with particulars. O my dear brother, how ought such manifestation of God's glory to quicken our souls and excite us to lay out ourselves more and more in the service of the best of masters, Jesus Christ. Every day he fills me with himself, and sometimes brings me even upon the confines of eternity. Methinks I often stand upon Mount Pisgah and take a view of the heavenly Canaan, and then long to be gathered to my people. But, my dear brother, both you and I must suffer, and that great things before we enter into glory. My work is scarce begun. My trials are yet to come. What is a little scourge of the tongue? What is a thrusting out of the synagogues? The time of temptation will be when we are thrust into an inner prison and feel the iron entering into even our souls. Then perhaps even God's people may be permitted to forsake us for a while, and none but the Lord Jesus to stand by us. But if thou, O dearest Redeemer, will strengthen me in the inner man, let enemies plunge me into a fierce furnace and throw me into the lion den of lions. My dear brother, my heart is enlarged toward you, though I never saw, yet I love you most tenderly. How does dear brother D? Does he walk in the light of God's countenance? Pray salute him lovingly in my name. In the fall I hope to see you in Long Island, and be somewhat filled with your company. In the meanwhile, let us all keep a close walk with Jesus, and be pleased in a special manner to remember your unworthy, though affectionate brother, fellow laborer and servant of our common Lord, G.W. Letter 199. Savannah, June 25th, 1740. To the Reverend Mr. J.W. My honored friend and brother, I thank you for, and heartily say amen, to all the petitions you have put up in my behalf. I want to be as my master would have me, I mean meek and lowly in heart. Dear sir, bear with me a little longer. Pray for me with great earnestness, and who knows, but my God may give me to abhor myself in dust and ashes. He that hath given us his Son, will he not with him freely give us all things? For Christ's sake, if possible, dear sir, never speak against election in your sermons. No one can say that I ever mentioned it in public discourses, whatever my private sentiments may be. For Christ's sake, let us not be divided among ourselves. Nothing will so much prevent a division as your being silent on this head. I should have rejoiced at the sight of your journal. I long to sing a hymn of praise for what God has done for your soul. I am glad to hear that you speak up for an attendancy on the means of grace, and do not encourage persons who run, I am persuaded, before they are called. The work of God will suffer much by my imprudency. I trust you will still persist in field preaching. Others are strangers to our call. I know infinite good hath been done by it already, and greater good will yet be done thereby every day. But we must be judged of our brethren. May God bless you more and more every day, and cause you to triumph in every place. Next Monday, God willing, I go to Charlestown. My family is well regulated, but I want some more gracious assistance. I have near 130 to maintain daily without any fund. The Lord gives me a full, undisturbed confidence in His power and goodness. Dear sir, Adelu, I can write no more. My heart is full. I want to be a little child. Oh, continue to pray for your most unworthy, but affectionate brother and servant in our dear Lord Jesus Christ, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 200, being read by Peter John Parises. Savannah, June 25th, 1740. To Mr. J.H. Dearest J., every letter you write knits my heart more and more to you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Your last I received on Saturday. God has been preparing me for it by a week's imitation upon my heart and by an inexpressible agony in my soul just before it came to Him. Blessed be God that our friends preach at poverty of spirit, for that is the only foundation whereon to build solid, abiding comfort. The stony ground received the word with joy, but how did those hearers stand in a day of temptation? They fell away, for it is very possible that the heart may have much joy floating on the top of it, and yet be as hard as the nether millstone. Hence it is that so many who boast of rest in their flashes of joy are self-willed, impatient of reproof, despisers of others in a mourning state, and wise in their own conceits. Whereas the believer that hath been with his Lord in the wilderness and has a truly broken and contrite heart, though his joy may not be so extravagant, yet it is substantial. Such a soul hangs upon God. thinks before he speaks, and is continually hearkening for what the Lord will say to him by the small, still voice of his spirit. This is the state I want all our friends to arrive at. I cannot see how they can, with assurance, talk of their enjoying solid fellowship with the Father and his dear Son, Christ Jesus. I shall not be surprised if many, who seemingly began in the Spirit, do end in the flesh and turn prosecutors of the doctrines and disciples of Jesus Christ. How can they possibly stand who never felt themselves condemned criminals, who were never truly burdened with a sense not only of their actual, but original sin, especially that damning sin of unbelief, who were never brought to see and hardly confess that after they had done all, God might, notwithstanding, deny them mercy, and that it is owing merely to his sovereign love in Christ Jesus our Lord that they can have any hopes of being delivered from the wrath to come. It is the preaching in this manner that I like Monsieur T's. They wound deep before they heal. They know that there is no promise made but to him that believeth, and therefore they are not careful to comfort overmuch those that are convicted. I fear I have been too incautious in this respect, and have often given comfort too soon. The Lord pardon me for what is past, and teach me more rightly to divide the word of truth for the future. Dearest T, pardon this freedom. I have been constrained to write in this manner. I thank you most heartily for your historical letter. Fail not writing to me often. Dearest J, help me by your prayers. For Christ's sake, help me. Our Lord is yet with us. I hear different accounts of things, but I pray for all, and suspend my judgment till you see. Your affectionate brother and servant, G.W. Letter 201, Savannah, June 25th, 1740. To Mrs. E.C., my dear sister, your letter afforded me much inward pleasure. Surely it bespeaks the writer not to be far from the kingdom of God. You was then waiting for our Lord's salvation, ere now, I trust. God has manifested his glory, filled you with his blessed Spirit, and thereby sealed you to the day of redemption. 'Tis good to be long in an humble state. It is the best preparation for solid, lasting comfort. Blessed are they that mourn most, for they shall be the most comforted. Not that we are violently to keep ourselves in such a state, but when God's hand lies heavily upon us, we are patiently to tarry the Lord's leisure, till he reveals himself to our souls. I was a mourner a long while, but glory be to God, I have for some years been almost continually comforted, at least kept from doubting of my interest in Jesus Christ. I can, with an humble boldness, cry out, My Lord and my God. He daily manifests himself to my soul, and causes me to feel my dependency on his free grace and sovereign love. This is the kingdom of God within us. Oh, my dear sister, what would I give were all the world partakers of this unspeakable gift? I burn with an ardent zeal after the salvation of my dear brethren, who are dead in trespasses and sins. Poor souls, why am I taken, and they left? O the sovereign, free, unmerited, distinguishing love of my and your Jesus! My dear sister, let us love him, let us obey him, let us suffer for him with a cheerful heart. His love will sweeten every cup, though never so bitter. Let us pledge him willingly, and continue faithfully, even unto death. A scene of sufferings lie before us. Who knows but we may wade to our Savior through a sea of blood? I expect, pray that I may be strengthened, if called to it, to die for his great name's sake. 'Twill be sweet to wear a martyr's crown. Dear Madam Adelou, I remember God's goodness to us at Brook Oaks. I pray for you and yours. I trust your daughters keep close to Jesus. Salute them kindly in my name. Read my journal and give hearty thanks for your unworthy brother and servant in Christ Jesus, G.W. End of letter 201. Letter 202, Savannah, June 26, 1740. To the Reverend Mr. S. in London. Reverend and dear sir, and is one of the priests also obedient to the word? Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath translated you from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the service of the everlasting God. You know I, that our glorious Emmanuel, has not commanded us to pray in vain. Surely we shall never taste of death till we see our dear Lord's kingdom coming with great power. He seems to be thrusting out more laborers into his harvest. Glory be to his free grace that you are one of the happy number. O dear sir, rejoice and be exceeding glad, and let the love of Jesus constrain you to go out into the highways and hedges to compel poor sinners to come in. Some, even that are true lovers of the Lamb, may say, this is not proceeding with a zeal according to knowledge. But I am persuaded, when the power of religion revives, the gospel must be propagated in the same manner as it was first established, itinerant preaching. Go on, dear sir, go on and follow your glorious master without the camp, bearing his sacred reproach. Never fear the scourge of the tongue, or the threatenings that are daily breathed out against the Lord and against his Christ. Suffer we must, I believe, and that great things, O Lord, by his providence, begins to show it. Ere long, perhaps, we may sing in a prison and have our feet set fast in the stocks. But faith in Jesus turns a prison into a palace and makes a bed of flames become a bed of dew. Now let us be faithful today, and our Lord will support us tomorrow. O dear sir, though I know you not, yet my heart is enlarged towards you, and I make mention of your name in my prayers. I pray God to give you strength to bear the heat and the burden of every day, and to enable you to preach with such wisdom that all your adversaries may not be able to gainsay or resist. Blessed be his holy name. I drink deep of his love every moment. A greater power than ever attends my poor labors, and several of my own household, both boys and girls, I really believe, are coming savingly to Jesus Christ. I am now about to go to Charlestown. A work of God is begun there. Who knows but I may see my dear brother S. in America? But future things belong to God, to whose grace and love I commend you. Keep close to your dear Jesus and pray that a childlike, humble spirit may be given you. Your unworthy brother and fellow laborer, G.W. End of letter 102. Letter 203. Savannah, June 26, 1740. To William S., Esquire, in London. My dear brother S., I send you a package of letters from Charlestown, the middle of this month. Since that time I have received many agreeable letters from England, but find that blending letters that Miss E. D. is in a seeking state only. Surely that will not do. I would have one that is full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Just now I have been weeping and much carried out in prayer before the Lord. My poor family gives me more concern than anything else put together. I want a gracious woman that is dead to everything but Jesus, and is qualified to govern children and direct persons of her own sex. Such a one would help, and not retard me, in my dear Lord's work. I wait upon the Lord every moment. I hang upon my Jesus, and he is so infinitely condescending that he grants daily me fresh tokens of his love, and assures me that he will not permit me to fall by the hands of a woman. I am almost tempted to wish I had never undertook the orphan house. At other times I am willing to contrive matters so that I may not marry, but I am always checked, and looking back upon the workings of my heart in this affair, I am more and more convinced that it is of God, and therefore know he will order affairs for me as will best promote his own glory, so that my dear Lord's honor does not suffer, I care not what trouble in the flesh I undergo. His glory, to the best of my knowledge, is my only aim in my thoughts, words, and actions. My dearest brother, adieu. By this time, I trust, you are near England. My dear brother S. goes with me to Charlestown. Brother B. keeps house in my absence. Take heed that the people you bring believe on Jesus. Expect to hear shortly again from your affectionate brother and servant in Christ, G.W. Letter 104, Savannah, June 28, 1740. To Mr. W. D. My dear brother, I thank you for your kind letters and friendly cautions, and trust shall always reckon those my choicest friends who, in simplicity and meekness, tell me the corruptions of my heart. It is that faithfulness which hath endeared J. S. to me. I think I never was obliged to anyone so much as before. For that reason also I find my heart knit to you. O, my dear brother, still continue faithful to my soul. Do not hate me in your heart. In any wise reprove me. Exhort all, my dear brother, to forgive my past, I fear, too imperious carriage, and let them pray that I may know myself to be what I really am, less than the least of them all. I have abundant reason to bless God for sending me abroad. I cannot say I have improved my retirement as I ought, but I can say it hath been highly beneficial to my soul. I have a garden near at hand, where I go particularly to meet and talk with my God at the cool of every day. I often sit in silence, offering my soul as so much clay, to be stamped just as my heavenly potter pleases. And whilst I am musing, I am often filled, as it were, with the fullness of God. I am frequently at Calvary, and frequently on Mount Tabor, but always assured of my Lord's everlasting love. O, continue to pray for me that I may know myself even as I am known. I want to have a proper mixture of the lion and the lamb, and of the serpent and the dove. I do not despair of obtaining it. Jesus is love. Jesus willeth my perfection. Jesus hath died for me. Jesus can deny me nothing. He hath given me himself. Will he not then freely give me all things besides? I wait for thy complete salvation, O Lord. My dear brother, my heart is now enlarged. My prayer is answered. The whole Godhead now fills my soul. O grace, grace! O Jehu, Jehu! Was ever love like thine? Jesus, Lord, I abhor myself in dust and ashes. O, that I could praise thee, that I could love thee as I ought. My dear brother, I hear you have been zealous for the Lord your God since my departure. You have done well. You can never be zealous for a better master, but why silent? Why withdrawn? Did you go before you was called or qualified? If so, you have done right, but I suspend my judgment, for I find there is no judging at a distance. I only pray, God, that you may always feel yourself a very poor sinner, and find refuge in the wounds and blood of the Lamb. I rejoice to hear the work of God goes on, and heartily wish you may not be divided among yourselves. Our dear Lord is with us. I only want a few more gracious, solid assistants. The Lord will send them in his due time to your affectionate brother and servant in Christ, G.W. Letter 205. Good Hope, South Carolina, July 2nd, 1740. To Jonathan Barber. My dear brother Barber, it is true that one night whilst you was expounding, you told your hearers, from your own experience, that they could not go on without throwing aside the means of grace, or words to that purpose. If so, I pity you, that you are not only missed yourself, but you are also misguiding others. But this is no more than I expected. I think you began to teach too soon, and before you had a commission given you from above. Brother Jonathan was of the same opinion before I left England. For that reason, I could not take you to Georgia. Blessed be God, I have no such over-forward spirits there. My dear brother, I write in love, For Christ's sake, try your spirit. I fear you was never yet truly humbled. I know you have had joy, but I always thought it was joy floating on the surface of an unmortified heart. From such a joy, good Lord delivers us. Oh, that you have been in the wilderness a little longer. Then you might have been an experienced teacher, but I fear you are now only a novice. May the Lord keep you from falling into the condemnation of the devil. I write not this to damp, but to regulate your spirit. If you are humble, you will take it kind. God knows I wish all the Lord's servants were prophets, but I would not have my master's work suffer by a too heady way of proceeding. Why should you dishonor him by acting above your spheres, whereas you might honor him by acting in it? Everyone is not fit to be a public expounder. To build up awakened sinners in private is what is more wanted at present than young, inexperienced preachers. But I have done. I fear I have offended my brother. Forgive me this wrong. As God was pleased first to work upon you by my ministry, you must always expect to be watched over by your affectionate friend, brother, and servant, G.W.